بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear visitors and brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. As individuals, we all have our own histories, our past experiences, our past events that we have experienced, our milestones, all of these things that combine together to make us what we are today. They all combine together to make us what we are today as individuals. Imagine for a moment if you did not know anything about your past. Imagine for a moment if you knew nothing about your past, where you were born, who your parents are, when you were born, where you went to school, what events you experienced, and so on and so forth. If you've actually tried to imagine that, you probably realize it's actually very difficult to imagine that. It is very, very difficult to imagine that because all of these things, and others as well, make us who we are, and they play a major role. They play a major role in the decisions that we make, not only in terms of who we are right now, but moving forward towards the future, they have a great impact on the types of decisions that we make. Similarly, as a community and as a nation, we must be aware of our past. We must be aware of our collective experiences. We must also be aware of our rights and our responsibilities so that we have a clear understanding. So that we have a clear understanding of who we are, what our obligations are, and what are we allowed to do, what are we not allowed to do. Today, of course, is Canada Day. And 144 years ago today, three British North American territories came together, colonies came together, and formed what is now, or what was called then, Canada, and then it grew after that. So we had Nova Scotia, we had New Brunswick, and we had what was then called the Province of Canada, which included what's Quebec and what's Ontario today. So these three British colonies came together, and on July 1st, 1867, that became Canada, and that's how this country was formed. But remember, 13 years before that, note this, 13 years before that, the first Muslim child, 13 years before Confederation, in 1867, the first Muslim child was born in this land. And that first Muslim child was born right here in Ontario. While his religion was identified in government documents as Mohammedan, because that's how the British used to describe the Muslims back then, so they weren't called followers of Islam, right? We were called Mohammedans. His name was not Muhammad, and in fact, he was born to a teenage bride, a Scottish girl. A teenage bride, a Scottish girl, by the name of Agnes Love. And thus began the history of Muslims in Canada. This is very important for all of us to know. That 13 years before Confederation, before the birth of this country, the first Muslim child was born, and he was born to Scottish parents. And his name was James Love. The first Muslim child documented to be born in Canada was James Love, the son of, his father's name was the same, James Love and Agnes Love. Another Muslim couple, also known in government documents, referred to as Mohammedans, meaning Muslims, settled permanently in Ontario after migrating from the United States in 1871. So we're talking about 4 years after Confederation. And again, their names were John and Martha Simon. John and Martha Simon, and they were also of Western European origin. John was English, while Martha was French. So this is the history of Muslims in Canada. So the next time anyone tries to tell you that Muslims don't belong in Canada, please kindly let them know that Muslims have been here before Canada was formed. Muslims have been here on this land and have been living here very productively, very positively contributing to the country since before the country was formed, and have helped in building this country into what it is today. We must also know about the first masjid in Canada, which in fact is the first masjid in North America. In 1931, so we fast forward now, right? A bit over 100 years. 1931, and there are about 700 Muslims in Canada. Alhamdulillah, we have more than 700 Muslims in Kingston now, right? But back then, there are 700 Muslims in Canada, and this is 1931. In the city of Edmonton, a group of women, a group of Muslim women, led by a young woman, a 27-year-old sister of Lebanese origin, approached the mayor of the city of Edmonton for a plot of land to build a masjid. So a group of women in the city of Edmonton approach the mayor and tell him, we need a piece of land, we are Muslims and we want to build a masjid. The mayor points out, you don't have any money to build a masjid. How are you going to build a mosque? You don't have any money. And he said, don't worry, we'll get the money. We'll get the money. So he gives them a piece of land with the condition that if they're able to raise the funds to build the masjid, they can have the land to build a masjid upon it. And their job was to raise $5,000. For us, that sounds like peanuts. Right? We do that in maybe first 20 minutes of a fundraising dinner, or maybe even less. But back then, in the depths of the Great Depression, $5,000 was a lot of money. So these women, these sisters, started the fundraising effort, approaching Muslim families, raising money. Not only Muslim families, they would go down the main street in Edmonton, Jasper Avenue, and collect money from store owners. Whether they were Muslim, whether they were Christian, whether they were Jewish or whatever, they would go and approach them and ask them to raise money. And in December 1938, so they started this in 1931, in 1938 finally the masjid was built, and thus Canada and North America saw the first masjid ever on this land. By the 1980s, the masjid became too small because it was a small building, and they moved to a larger building, a larger facility, and the original structure fell into disrepair. So it needed renovations and it was falling apart, and the city of Edmonton was actually considering demolishing the building. In 1991, again, thanks to the efforts which were spearheaded by sisters, by the Canadian Council of Muslim Women, the masjid was saved. They raised $75,000to restore the masjid and to have it moved as a historic site to Fort Edmonton Park. So if you go to Fort Edmonton Park today, you will find historic churches from Alberta, and you will also find the first masjid in Canada, which stands there as a sign of Canada's Muslim pioneer heritage. So as a community, we should remember, and we must remember our pioneers, people who came here and established our communities, established our centers, established our masajid, established our schools under tremendously challenging circumstances. If you can imagine, if there's only 700 people in all of Canada and you're trying to build a masjid and trying to raise $5,000 in the depths of the Great Depression, that's a big deal. That's not an easy task. Or imagine, you know, in 13 years before Confederation, the first Muslims who come here, they have enough faith, mashallah, that they, when they're asked, they don't just try to cover up their faith. They don't try to say, oh, well, you know, we're Muslims, but okay, we'll just keep it inside our hearts. No. They tell them, right, when they're asked, they inform the authorities that, yes, they are Muslims. And you can imagine the challenges that they must have faced at that time in trying to establish their faith and in trying to protect their faith. So we recognize the challenging circumstances that our pioneers have gone through. We pray for them. We pray for their forgiveness. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them for all of their efforts. And we also learn. We also learn and we extract lessons from their courage and their experiences. At the same time, while we are recognizing our pioneers in our communities, we also recognize the openness and the freedoms that we have in our country, that we are allowed, that allows us to practice our faith, to practice our faith openly and freely, and allows us to flourish as a community. From that time, when the first Muslim child was born in Canada, to the time when there were 700 Muslims in Canada, now to the time where there are over probably 1 million Muslims in Canada, right? That wouldn't have been possible Of course, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if it weren't for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, that probably would not have been as possible. So we thank and we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us, giving us the ability to, and blessing us with a land of peace, a land of prosperity, and a land of security. We also express, because a Muslim is a person who is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is also grateful to others as well, and shows his or her appreciation towards others. So we also express our appreciation for those who have put great thoughts and have given great sacrifices into making what this land is today, which allows us to be here and to congregate as we are today. As Canadian Muslims today, we enjoy, just like all other Canadians, a number of rights and freedoms, regardless of our faith, regardless of our ethnicity. And it's good to go over these from time to time so that we understand how valuable these freedoms and these rights are, and that we are aware of them, so that if they are ever encroached upon, if there's ever a time when those rights are being taken away, we are able to recognize that and we are able to stand up against that. So we have the freedom of conscience, to basically have your own sense of what is right and wrong, and the freedom to practice your religion as you wish. The freedom of thought, the freedom of belief, opinion, and expression. The freedom of belief, opinion, thought, and expression, including the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press. The freedom of peaceful assembly and the freedom of association. These are the fundamental freedoms that are guaranteed under the Canadian rights, the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. At this minute, right now, we are exercising most of these freedoms, right? Because we are practicing our faith. We are, well, I am at least, expressing views. We are together in a peaceful assembly, and we are allowed to meet one another. We are allowed to meet whoever we wish, and this is the freedom of association. So these are the freedoms that we enjoy, and we enjoy on a daily basis. But remember also, before I continue, if you can just move forward a little bit, please, and fill in the gaps, so you can make space for the brothers and sisters who are coming in. Is that the long time? So these freedoms that we enjoy, these freedoms that have allowed us, that allow us to do what we are doing right now, they also come with responsibilities. This is very important. It's not a one-way street. It's not that we take all our rights, right, and all the freedoms and enjoy them, and we don't contribute and we don't give anything back. They come with responsibilities. And by virtue of living here, by virtue of being a citizen or a permanent resident or a temporary resident for that matter, we have taken an agreement. We have taken an agreement, we have taken an undertaking, whether we have done so explicitly through an oath or whether we have done it implicitly by living here and by using the services that the country offers us and by getting a passport and so on and so forth. We have taken an undertaking, an agreement to live by these responsibilities. So it is extremely important that we know what these responsibilities are. As Muslims, all of our responsibilities, all of our covenants, all of our oaths, all of our agreements are to be taken with extreme seriousness, with an extreme degree of importance and seriousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأوفوا بالعهد إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. And fulfill every covenant, every agreement, every deal that you make, fulfill them. Verily the covenant, these agreements will be questioned about. So these are things that we as Muslims will be held accountable for. And thus we must know what our responsibilities are, what our rights are. So the first responsibility as a person who lives in this country is to obey the law. That we must follow the law, and this is in fact what we were also taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala al-mar'i al-muslimi as-sam'u wa at-ta'a fi ma ahabba wa kariha." That for a Muslim, It is obligatory to obey orders, to obey laws, to obey commandments, whether a person likes them or not, إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمَرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ, except for the time when they are commanded, when he is commanded to commit a sin. In that case, فَإِنْ أُمِرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ فَلَا سَمَعَ وَلَا طَاعَةٍ, in that case there is no adherence and there is no obedience. So as long as we are not commanded to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as we are not commanded to commit sins, it is obligatory upon us to follow rules and regulations. Now this hadith does not distinguish between Muslim lands and non-Muslim lands. And although the understanding of the scholars generally has been that this applies to Muslim lands. However, in a non-Muslim land where Muslims are relatively safe and secure and live in peace, many of the injunctions, many of the rulings that apply in Muslim lands also apply in these non-Muslim lands as well. And thus, according to many scholars, the commands of following the laws of the land apply in these non-Muslim lands as well. So just because we are living in a country that is not ruled by a Muslim does not give us a free pass to do whatever we wish, to break whatever laws we wish. As long as there are laws, rules, and regulations which are not forcing us to commit any sins, we have a responsibility to follow those. And this is one of the first responsibilities of Canadian citizenship. Taking the responsibility for oneself and one's family. This is the second responsibility of Canadian citizenship. Taking responsibility for ourselves and for our families. So for example, getting a job, taking care of one's family, working hard and supporting ourselves within our abilities. These are important Canadian values, and these are important Islamic values as well. Right? The Prophet ﷺ in a number of places has talked about the virtue of earning a halal income, the responsibility a person has in supporting his family. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ whose chain of narration is somewhat perhaps questionable, but the principle that it conveys is sound. And it goes that the Prophet ﷺ said, طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ, that to seek lawful earnings is an obligatory duty following other obligatory duties. Right? So the obligations we have upon ourselves, for example, offering our prayers, fasting, hajj, zakat, so on and so forth, those are obligations. But after that, we also have the obligation to seek lawful earnings to support our family. The authenticity of this hadith may be doubtful, but the principle is sound, and that is our obligation to support ourselves and our families. This is our responsibility, and we must try our best. We must try our best to avoid handouts, to avoid begging, unless it is absolutely necessary. And that includes welfare as well. We seek welfare, we seek assistance of the state, only as a last resort. And especially not through fraud. Please, hear me out very clearly. To defraud the government and to seek welfare through fraud is not appropriate, is not permissible for you as a Muslim. Please, do not do this. Do not taint the names of Muslims. Do not taint our religion and our community by involving yourself in fraudulent activities and in deceiving the government. This is not allowed according to Islam. This is not what our religion teaches us. One of the other responsibilities is serving on a jury. So when we are called to serve on a jury, you are legally required to serve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you, whenever you judge between people, to judge with justice. Now if you find yourself in a situation where you are called for jury duty, and you feel that you are not able to give a verdict, not a verdict, but able to give an opinion as a member of the jury based on justice, based on the injunctions and based on the commandments that have been laid out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when you are called, you can go and explain that for this reason and that reason, I feel that I will not be able to do justice, I cannot serve as a member of the jury, and you can probably be exempted in that case. Voting in elections is also one of the responsibilities of Canadian citizenship. And we talk about this. We talk about this every time when there is an election. Our responsibility as Muslims is to promote good governance, to promote the protection of people's rights, and to help elect those who are best suited for the post. So when it comes time for an election, as Canadians, it is our it's not a law, you're not required to, you won't get arrested if you don't vote. But as a citizen, it is your responsibility to do so. And as a Muslim who is promoting that which is good and trying to put down which is evil, it is our responsibility as well to do what is best. When it comes to helping others in our community, that is another value of Canadian citizenship. And we often talk about this, the importance of serving the needy, the importance of looking after our neighbors. These are not PR exercises, right? These are not public relations exercises that we get into so that we can take our pictures and put them into the newspaper and the media and so on and so forth, right? These are responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon us. As Muslims, as believers, we have a responsibility to look after those in need, especially those in our communities, especially those who are our neighbors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ارْكَعُوا وَاسْجُدُوا وَاعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَفَعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That O you who believe, bow down, prostrate yourselves, and worship your Lord, and do good. وَفَعَلُوا الْخَيْرَ, so that you may be successful. So doing good is a very broad term, and includes volunteering, includes looking out for other fellow human beings and our neighbors. And that is one of the things that we try to do, for example, with the Islamic Society of Kingston's volunteer team. So we try to go around to different places of need, and alhamdulillah, we have a strong group of brothers and sisters who come out to support the team, who are members of the team, and we go out and we try to do our part. Finally, one of the last responsibilities of Canadian citizenship is to protect and enjoy our heritage and environment. And we've talked about the importance of protecting and safeguarding the environment as well in the past. As Muslims, whether we are in Canada or we are elsewhere in the world, we have been taught to respect the environment, to respect nature, and to protect it. It is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The environment, the nature that we see, that we live in, has been given to us as a trust and as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is our responsibility to protect it and to appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor upon us. So now the question is, what is the purpose of saying all this? Right. So why am I standing up here and talking about all these things? What is the purpose of this? And the purpose is, first of all, to underline the fact that we are a part of Canadian fabric. So the history lesson was there for us to understand. Every single person in this room, and especially our children, every single child in this room should know that Canadian Muslims are a part of Canada. That Canadian Muslims were here before Confederation. Muslims were here before the birth of this country, and inshallah will continue to be here. This Canada is our country just as much as it is anyone else's country. And we are here to stay, inshallah. We must make that very clear. The story of Canada's first masjid back in 1931, well, when it opened in 1938, and the fact that young women, young sisters spearheaded the project. The purpose of that is for us to derive a lesson that we must always be concerned about safeguarding our faith. We must always, always be worried and concerned about safeguarding our faith and our religious practices. And this is a concern for everyone. It's not just a concern for me because I'm the imam. It's not the concern only for the president or the executive committee of the masjid because they're responsible for the masjid. This has got to be a concern for every single Muslim, man or woman, young or old, that is living here today and that is here right now. This is a concern for everyone. It must be a concern. And we must also know that each one of us can make a difference. Each one of us, every single individual in this room right now, can make a difference in safeguarding our faith and safeguarding our religious practices, and it is our responsibility. If those sisters in 1931 had thought that, you know what, I don't think we could do it, it's not for us, then that masjid probably wouldn't have been built at that time. It is because they took that responsibility upon themselves. It is because they had that attitude that said that, yes, we can. Of course, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the help of our brothers and sisters. But it was because of that attitude that they went out and they were able to accomplish what they did with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this must be a concern for all of us and something that we are continuously thinking about and continuously thinking about how we can do something about it. It's also extremely important for us, as I mentioned earlier, to know what our rights are. So that when these rights are in danger, and it does happen from time to time, there have been efforts in the past to do that, there are efforts right now to do that, and there will continue to be efforts in the future to do that as well. So it is extremely important that we know what our rights are and that we recognize when our rights are in danger. Our rights, of course, and the rights of all Canadians. But before we do that, before we start fighting for our rights, standing up for our rights, we need to ensure that we are positive contributors to Canadian society. So before we start claiming all our rights and demanding our rights and speaking about this is our right, that's our right, we must also make sure that we are positive contributors to Canadian society. And if you look at the responsibilities that I discussed of Canadian citizenship, they are not contrary to the teachings of Islam. Rather, they are what we are taught as Muslims as well. So the rights and responsibilities, the responsibilities we have as Canadian citizens, is what Islam teaches us as well. So to be a good Muslim is to be a good Canadian. Remember this. To be a good Muslim is to be a good Canadian. I see a lot of Canada shirts right now. Okay? So to be a good Muslim, to be a good Muslim is to be a good Canadian. And we must discharge our responsibilities as Canadians and as Muslims. We must discharge our responsibilities as Canadians and as Muslims. Then we should vigorously defend our rights and the rights of all Canadians. So when it comes to defending our rights, yes, we must stand up for our rights. We must also be positive contributors to Canadian society. We need to stand up for justice and for what is right. And when it comes to your rights, don't even give up an inch of your rights. When it comes to your rights, don't give up even an inch of your rights. There have been, as I said, and currently are efforts to restrict these rights, and especially when it comes to ours as Muslims. So beware of that. And we must stand up to that. We must stand up to these challenges, and that is what will be expected, what is expected of us as good Muslims and as good Canadians as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to give us the strength and the ability to preserve our faith and to be good Canadians. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to make this country a beacon of peace, of security, freedom, and opportunity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a country of goodness and a country of faith where the rights of all Canadians, and including those of us, those of Muslims, are protected.